You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreck-It Magazine.
Hello there, MemoCast listeners. This is episode 4. You've been listening to this show for about a month if you stayed with us since day 1. I feel like there's not many of you who can claim that, but for those of you who can, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yes, this wouldn't be possible without viewers like you, just like PBS. And without further ado, we're just going to get on with this episode, and want to kick it off by saying... This past week, we lost a very powerful woman in the literary world. We lost the late and great Maya Angelou. So let's take a quick 2 seconds of silence to show our respects, and then we will carry on with the episode. And that's about 2 seconds. So, you know, Maya, thank you for all the contributions that you have done for all of us who love to read books, especially yours.
Oh, of course.
And do you have anything you want to say about Maya?
I do have to say, out of all the writers in the world, being a writer myself, I have very few that I've ever read had a command of the language like she did. And she really did have a passion and a love for her craft. Yeah. And we truly lost one of the greats recently.
Yeah. I felt I would pass that ball to you since you are a writer and better at speaking than I am, and you would just know how to sum it all up.
Yeah. So... wherever you're at, Maya, thank you so much for everything that you've done.
Yes. Now let's get on to the show. We have a new segment we're going to be calling Newsworthy Notes. It'll probably get a different name at some point if we could think of a better name. But essentially what it is we've noticed that, you know, for weeks there's a lot of talking points that we have. Rather than like, you know, a lot of them you just can't go into in-depth discussion. So it's going to give you pretty much say what's going on, a quick little blurb, and then on to the next one. So here's the first edition of Newsworthy Notes. Now, the first little bit is we're going to talk about John Wesley Shipp, who played the original Barry Allen in the 1990s CBS Flash TV show, has been casted as Henry Allen, Barry Allen's dad, in the current CW incarnation of the show coming out this fall. Great homage to the character, and he's a great actor, so I feel it'll end up going really well. Also announced, or really, I guess, leaked, is a... The director for Jurassic Park said that, you know, like, in response...
Jurassic World?
Oh, Jurassic World, the fourth Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. In response to the leaked information, like, here's what's true, here's what we're doing, and essentially the major thing to pull away from it is that, you know, in this fourth installment, there's going to be an established theme park on the original island. Was it Isla Nublar?
Isla Sonar.
Well, so there's going to be a theme park that's been there for a while, and it's going to be like, you know, essentially what they wanted, the whole Sea World with dinosaurs.
Gotcha. Or was it Isla Nublar?
I think it was Isla Nublar, but I could be wrong. The other tidbit is that Amy Poehler just announced that, she debuted the cover for her new memoir coming out, and it looks pretty badass. It's got like an 80s vibe to it, and I'm really excited. I love Amy Poehler. I feel like she's going to have a lot of really cool stories that I'm going to be into, and so hopefully once that comes out, I believe in October, I'll be really stoked on that. The next talking point I want to go into is has to do with sci-fi. Sci-Fi Network had two shows. Well, one had the second season debuted, and then one was a brand new show. Heroes of Cosplay had their second season debut, and I was really into it. At points, I feel that it's a bit staged, or is this too much of a reality show at points? But overall, I enjoy it. And then the Will Wheaton Project just debuted, and it's pretty much like Talk Soup, but with nerdy stuff. So kind of like what we wish we could do with the charisma,
exactly.
With the charisma that Will Wheaton has, and I like it. Mike has yet to see it, but I enjoy it. We look forward to the episode coming out later tonight because it airs Monday, mm-hmm. And I think that's going to do it for Newsworthy Notes. So, Mike, you have something you wanted to talk about today?
All right. So, this past week on Tuesday, the latest book in the Dresden File series, which I address, I think, in our second episode.
Yes.
I talked about. It went up, and I got it a day early because I love Amazon. I got it on Memorial Day, And I have to say, out of if you are a lover of books, you're a lover of like a urban fantasy, pick it up. If you're a Dresden fan, I know a lot of Dresden fans got turned off after Ghost Story, which was the second to last book released. A lot of them got really turned off and they were really worried about the series and the direction it was taking. No. Go back, read these books. It's amazing. To give you guys a quick synopsis, maybe if you're not familiar with the series, Harry Dresden is a wizard living in modern-day Chicago where he works as a private investigator. And the series follows his exploits and misadventures navigating the underworld of the fantasy world that kind of lives underneath the surface of our modern technological world. And in this book, he must join forces with one of his arch-nemesis, one of the angels, one of the Knights of the Black and Denarius, a man who is in possession of one of the 30 pieces of silver containing a fallen angel that is trying to raid Hades' vault in the underworlds. And so it's actually, a lot of these books are kind of in the vein of a film noir. You know, they're very, yes, you know, private investigator-ish, Humphrey Bogart. And in these ones, it's a heist movie. It's almost like you're reading Ocean's 11, but with elves and, you know, fallen gods and magic and stuff. So it's an amazing book. Go ahead and pick it up. It is well worth the, you know, the $15. That's all I have to say for about it for right now.
All right. Well, we're going to go into a big talking point really quickly before we go to our break and our next segment. And since Michael was talking about books, something big in the book reading world, just reading world in general, happened, and that's Reading Rainbow launched a Kickstarter.
Yeah,
LeVar Burton wants to take his current Reading Rainbow app beyond just an app for, like, you know, the tablet and iPhone community, and I think Android as well, and make it into like this big, huge program that schools can use to help their, you know, kids like learn to read and really, you know, get into the reading world. Which to me sounds really awesome. And they cracked $1 million, which was their goal, like in less than 24 hours. I think less than 12.
Yeah, I think they've quadrupled it or something by now.
I haven't checked since Friday. I haven't checked since it was like 1.8.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, so it could very well be way higher than what I think it is. And you might be right, it might be quadruple. We've just been so busy with Long Beach Comic Expo, which is actually what a majority of the rest of the show will be about, save for like a few headlines I want to talk about in later on in the show. Do you have any feedback you want to give out on the whole LeVar situation with Reading Rainbow?
I'm just really excited that it's going to come back.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form. I actually had no idea that he had an app out.
Yeah, he had an app, and this project is supposed to expand on the app.
Well, I'm just excited because I grew up with Reading Rainbow, and like I said earlier, I love to write, and I've been a writer ever since I was like 6 years old.
Yeah.
And Reading Rainbow was definitely one of those things that really got me into enjoying reading and enjoying writing. And I love to just sit there and listen to those kids be like, "Hi, my name is Richard Crawley, and I read Spot Goes to the Camp." Like, and you know, that was just one of my favorite things ever. So I'm super excited that he was able to make this work and that they've super exceeded their goal way beyond what we thought was possible.
Yeah, no, it looks really rad. It's funny, I should stop saying the word rad, but it's just, I listen to punk rock, I listen to California, it happens. But I'm very enthusiastic and very ecstatic about the prospect of more people getting into reading, especially in an age where I feel like enough people aren't doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, I forget where I heard, but like the statistic for like the, you know, the average American reading books isn't, you know, as high as I feel it should be.
It's, and the average American reads 1.5 books per year.
Yeah.
Whereas, in like places in Eastern Europe, they read like 20 books a year.
Yeah.
We actually learned that fact at Long Beach Comic Expo.
Yeah, which is, you know, what we will go into in just a little bit. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick break. We are going to listen to a song by Against Me. The song is called Fuck My Life 666, which probably has nothing to do with what you think it does. And then we're going to come back and listen to a segment we recorded at Long Beach Comic Expo with the host of Nerd Sentence.
Yeah.
And then from there, we will come back into us talking about a few more headlines and then giving our overall impressions of the expo as a whole.
All right, sweet.
So stick with us.
Bye, guys.
right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everyone in between, this is Mike.
I'm Armando.
And we are here at Long Beach Comic Expo with our good friends and fellow podcasters. Go ahead and introduce yourselves, gentlemen.
My name is Sam.
My name is Sean.
And our podcast is Nerdcendence.
Nerdcendence Podcast.
Yeah, well, that's not the title, but yeah, sure.
Nerdcendence, yes.
Yeah. So we're here at the expo. We saw a couple panels together. We saw one Saturday, one Sunday. Let's start off the Saturday one. That one was the Cosplay Is Not Consent panel. Thoughts on those, gentlemen?
I think I liked the lineup of panelists they had. They had Constantine, Animia,
Vegas Power Girl,
and
I forget the last one, but she was dressed as Thor.
She was, yeah. And I always forget her, and I feel
you were saying this yesterday. There's so many Thors.
There's a lot of Thors, and I think it's awesome that there are. Yeah. It's hard for me to tell them apart sometimes, and I feel like that makes me a horrible person.
Yeah, vaguely racist. Don't worry, it's only
vaguely racist about Thor.
Oh, do all Asgardians look the same to you?
They do. All Asgardians look very similar to me.
Tall. Statuesque,
blonde,
is it weird to point out they all look the same except for Heimdall? Is that treading into dangerous waters?
That is treading into dangerous waters.
But not to veer too off topic, so you like the panelists, but I think...
Fidgeting.
Stop them! I do what I want.
Yeah, the panelists there were really good, but it just, like, the panel itself didn't seem to be very well moderated.
There was some focus issues, I feel. Like, it's more generally about cosplay than cosplay does not equal consent.
Yeah.
They basically got out of, like, they covered cosplay is not consent in, like, the first 5 minutes of
and
the
kind of stop talking about it.
And then just kind of started, it just veered off. It's never a good sign when your moderator says, well, I think I'm out of questions, and it's 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
And then just basically gives it to the audience because he's filling.
Yeah, it's filling for time.
For me, at least, I actually quite enjoyed it. Because for me, it's so simple that it's like, okay, what else do we have to talk about 5 minutes in? Where it's like, all right, seriously, if you see someone cosplaying, don't pick them up. Don't harass them. Don't make lewd or sexist comments at them.
Just don't be a shitpot.
Yeah, don't be a dick. All right, so what else do you guys want to know about cosplay? For me, that's how I felt.
Well, one of the things I wish they would have done is I wish they would have gone into the Cosplay Is Not Consent movement as a whole, which, you know, maybe say where it started and how it's kind of gained traction. It even showed, because I believe there's an official website and Facebook for it. They should have, like, really gone into that and be like, here's how you can learn more. And here's how you can be, like, you know, for us, how you can be a better ally. And for women, like, here's how you can find support groups, you know, if you need someone to talk to.
Yeah.
You don't know who to speak about this. Because, you know, like, you might be a cosplayer, but can't really tell your friends who don't cosplay or aren't into comics, like, who do you talk to?
Yeah, I also don't think... I don't think the problem was is that they didn't talk about it enough. Because you're right. It's easy to not be a shitpile. But we're also, I feel like, raised by parents who taught us not to be shitpiles. Not everyone is. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much that... they needed to talk more about the stuff that happened to them, but it's like Mondo just said, they need to talk about like where to find the support groups and how especially males can be better allies. And to a certain extent, it really sucks when a dude gets tackled by a girl who really loves their character, but I know a bunch of male cosplayers, and although some of them do get harassed, the level of harassment to female cosplayers versus male cosplayers is absurd.
Yeah.
It happens all the time to female cosplayers, and I'm glad the four women who were sitting up there didn't experience it that much, but I have lots of friends who've been cosplaying for a very long time who a lot of uncomfortable things have happened to, and I feel like when you have a panel like that where that is the basis of that panel... It doesn't so much ruin their stories or something like that, but it kind of takes away from what they're experiencing and the purpose of a panel like that. Like, I have a panel that's all about cosplay and learning about cosplay. That's great, but when the panel is cosplay does not equal consent and that's the purpose of being there, focus on that. Because there are a lot of people who aren't as fortunate as those four women are who have experienced horrible sexism and horrible harassment, and to the extent, like, this is getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but Molly McIsaac was talking about in today's panel with, like, the rape threats and the death threats, but, like, whispered to them. They don't know how to react.
And
I feel like they could have talked about that. And it's kind of disappointed that they didn't, but...
Yeah, let's, well, now we've veered into today's panel, let's actually talk about the body positivity.
The body positivity.
Michael and I came here a little bit late, but we came in right as they were, like, talking about, like, their own personal stories as to, like, the, I guess they're struggling with, like, body issues. Yeah. So you maybe want to catch us and the listeners up to speed as to what we missed in those first 20 minutes?
Those first 20 to 25 minutes were about the same. They did their introductions, they did things like that. The first part, so much, I guess, was not so much about body positivity. While it was more about what cosplay did for them for their body positivity and things like that, and how it helped shape them into more body positive people, as opposed to how they were in middle school or high school or things like that. So, by the time you guys got there and they were kind of just into their origin stories, for lack of a better term, the pre-origin story was how cosplay kind of helped bring me to a place where I could be positive about how I looked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when we got there, it was like popping. It was like boom, boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. It took a little bit to pick up on theme. I think some of them might have been like they were stretching a little bit because one of the panelists was a little late as well.
Oh, okay.
Who showed up late?
Anamia. She got lost. She wasn't. I think she got lost on the way to the convention or something like that because it seemed like she was late.
Yeah.
To the convention center as a whole.
I was like, I could have sworn she was in that room yesterday.
Yeah, no, not to the room, I don't believe. It was to the convention center as a whole, I believe. There was a problem.
So I think it was a little bit of them stretching and then just kind of figuring out
the flow.
The flow of what the discussion, how the discussion was going to move.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You know, I know they talked a lot about their various Tumblr websites, which was a big plus to be like, this is where you can find out more, how you can find us on social media. And the one big thing that you brought up was at one point they were almost getting into the topic of like gatekeeping, where it was like those people.
Yeah.
And so you actually brought up, you asked that question, so that's one.
Yeah. Molly had actually, it was really interesting. There was a point where Caddy O'Keefe, who was the panel moderator, had said something that I believe she did not intend to mean what she said, but it the words she chose seemed exclusionary.
Molly spoke up.
Yeah, I don't want to say that though. That was her intent. I want to say that was probably. But Molly McIsaac jumped on that. Yeah. And not jumped out of that in a bad way, but was like, hey, this is not what we do. We can't be these people and then start being other people. Like, we need to be inclusionary. And my question, I guess, for the panel was, how do you deal with gatekeeping as a personal thing? And one, what do you think of gatekeeping? Because it's one of those things where we're getting to that point, I don't know if you want to call it a tipping point or whatever you call it, in geek culture where we've been waiting our entire lives for these things to be accepted, and all of a sudden they're accepted, and we're angry that they're accepted.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
as a culture, I feel like we're reaching a point where we need to make a decision that says we need to decide to be inclusionary. We need to decide to be those people because we've waited our whole lives, and now we're angry that other people. We wanted you all to like it. Now we're mad that you do. That's counterproductive, silly, and defeatist in the worst possible way.
Well, we're dum-dums.
Yeah.
The thing with that is, and this is again my opinion of just it's part of human. Unfortunately, it's a part of human nature. Human beings are social creatures. We're social animals, and no matter even as evolved as we become, and as intellectual as we become, we have a tendency to revert to these very primitive social formations.
Yeah.
And so when a group of animals are excluded from the major pack and they form their own side pack, they become very insular to that group, the same as the larger group was.
Yeah.
So it's a very animalistic, it's very nature... I'm losing steam, Sam. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just from a psychological and human behavior standpoint.
Yeah. What did you guys feel about like those last 25 minutes that you hit?
I thought they were great. So part of me felt like, oh man, I'm bummed I missed the first half. And just going into that second half, going on to the whole gatekeeping thing, the one thing I loved is like if you gatekeep, new people won't come. If new people don't come, your fandom dies.
Supply-demand.
Yeah.
Supply-demand.
You know, because they were talking about, like, the new Tenchi Muyo reboot. Like, the new reboot.
Oh, yeah.
Reboots after every series.
Like, I'm excited, though.
Yeah, the new Sailor Moon reboot. And it's like, if there weren't all these young kids who wanted something new, it wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't have all, like... But they even went to the joke. He's like, we would have all this merchandise. And she's like, and then Anna Mia was like, I can get my clock back.
That they made her throw away at her sorority when she was younger.
Yeah. Brutal story. Heartbreaking loss.
As for me, one of the things you have to keep in mind is frame everything that I say and the fact that this is only my second con ever.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What was your first?
Kamikaze, like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. Oh.
And I didn't watch anyone speak. Uh-huh. I walked the show floor with my brother and my dad, like, for, like, half an hour. And my dad was like, all right, let's go get some food. And that was like, my kamikaze experience.
Okay. And now he's at the Long Beach Comic Expo. I know. Press.
We're really solidifying your experience with cons here.
But that's the thing, is a lot of those stuff you guys are complaining about, or you guys have, like, you know, thought were like, oh, they could have done better here, done better there.
Yeah.
I'm actually just stoked that they're talking about it in general.
Yeah, right.
Because here's the thing is, you know, on the internet, I follow people like Zoe Quinn.
Okay.
Where, like, every other day is a complete shitstorm with people saying horrible, terrible things to her.
Yeah.
And to me, it's one of those things where it's like, here's a group of women who are actually standing up and talking about it, so I don't have to hear it from just one person on the internet on my Twitter feed every day. Now it's like, okay, it's not just this one person complaining over the internet, but a group of women who are coming together and at least saying something.
Yeah.
Even if that message isn't really something that, you know, got into the depth that you guys wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
For me, it's great that at least there was something here at a convention, maybe not the largest convention in the world.
Yeah.
But at least somebody's talking about it to some degree.
I think that's a point that you arrive at that we've talked about before on the podcast, is it's a burden of knowledge where we're like, yeah, we've been doing this for... For me, this is 20 years?
Yeah.
I've been doing this a long time.
Well, I'm condo.
Yeah,
he's a con vet.
Yeah, I'm a con veteran. I got battle wounds from conventions. But no, I've been doing this such a long time that you're right. Mm-hmm. You bring up a completely valid point insofar that it's great that anybody's talking about it, because for such a long time, nobody did.
Yeah.
And it was an ignored thing. And it's hard for me to get that perspective sometimes. It's really nice when people like you say that, because I'm like, no, you're completely right. I don't, like, I can still have my complaint.
Yeah, I would rather, like, have people, like, who don't frequent cons as much, have this be, like, really big experience for them. And us, we could have had more, because at the end of the day, there are enough websites for us to talk to and really get more out of it.
But I one last thing about this. I don't want anyone to construe my comments as, like, I'm being critical of these panels we were in. The thing is that I really want to take away from this is that these were very positively conducted panels.
Yeah.
They maintained that positivity. And these are topics where it's very easy to get weighed in and become a negative and go dark with, like, how with stories and and so, but these people, the women kept it a very light. They were making jokes. It was actually a funny, entertaining panel, especially this one today that we just.
Oh, this one, I feel like the ladies, cause I know some of them are, like, really good friends. Like, yesterday's was this too, but I feel like they were able to riff off each other before.
Yeah, and they were just more comfortable, I think more comfortable and more experienced with giving panels and talking.
I think the only thing I would say, and this is not about either of those panels specifically, but panels at Long Beach, if we're going back to talking about the Expo in general, and I've noticed about the Comic-Con, about the Expo in general, and also about Comic-Con, Long Beach Comic Convention, is it will be better, I suppose, or maybe a suggestion if they ever listen to this, is find panel moderators who maybe know a tad bit more about the subject of the panel, and also find panel moderators that free up the panelists.
Yes.
Because the one issue that I had that's not so much of an issue, but I wanted to hear more that didn't have to keep on going back as a moderator, is the panel moderator for the panel today, the body positivity and anti-bullying, was Katty O'Keefe. And she also had some really valuable things to say as a panelist, but it's really hard to be both the panelist and the moderator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The moderator needs to be present, but not a part of the conversation, but drive it.
It's essentially like a dungeon master.
Yeah,
it's like a dungeon master. You don't play the game, you just keep the game going.
Exactly, and that's what a moderator is there for, and I feel like Katty could have had more to contribute had she not been trying to run the panel
as
well.
Do double duties,
So, I think that's the... I'm not sure it's maybe a critique is maybe the best way to put it, of just Long Beach Comic Expo and Comic Convention. Find people or talk to, when someone is offering a panel, talk to them and be like, hey, find yourself a moderator so you can do this, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we're just trying to get the most we can out of our con, which we're getting a lot now, but yeah. Obviously we want to see it grow and improve.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Which is all we want. Any other final statements before we wrap this up, boys?
I got it. That's me.
No.
Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, you guys want to plug one more time?
Yeah, it's Nerdcendence. You can talk to us on Twitter, at Nerdcendence. Find us on Facebook. At Facebook.com/Nerdcendence.
And we're on Podbean at Nerdcendence.podbean.com is where you actually can find the show proper.
Or iTunes.
And we are on iTunes.
Yeah. And make sure you guys listen to their show, but after you listen to ours.
Yeah, listen to theirs first. Their show is shorter.
It is shorter. It's not 3 hours.
You reckon you grew up in a town that said reckon all the time, all your time so vile yet concrete. And I heard little rumors here and there, little peeps that you may never leave. I swear to God if you never leave.
Well, here goes nothing, I mean everything. Fingers crossed every morning after a night of no sleep, wondering if it will ever be. But I guess I'm doing just fine, texting you sucks and haze, with a smile or winky face, hoping to get the same. But I won't fucking wait for you to stop lingering. You got to flee to this town that you supposedly hate. And though it kills me to say, if you get stuck, well, I'm just gonna
sucker.
On the corner of Canal and Broadway, where that huge sign says love me, and shrouded graffiti and the stench of weed. My heart just started screaming, what if she just never leaves?
If it's clear and yellow, you've got juice there, fella. If it's tangy and brown, you're in Cider Town. Now, there's two exceptions, and it gets kind of
weird. Oh, you can stay, but I'm leaving.
If they're using late-season apples.
Hey, guys and gals, boys and girls, and everyone in between. That was our interview with the Nerdcendence. Now, we actually got another interview with Rampage Warren of Busty Girl Comics. You'll have to excuse the audio on this one a little bit. We were on the middle of the exhibition floor at Long Beach Comic Expo. There's a lot of craziness going on around us. She sounds amazing. We sound like shit.
Well, actually, you sound like shit. I sound like poo-poo. You know, a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, little minor differences. Yeah, so we got an amazing interview with her. We asked her, or Mondo, rather, asked her quite a few questions. And go ahead and enjoy.
The MemoCast is here at Long Beach Comic Expo with the author of Busty Girl Comics, Paige Halsey Warren. Hello.
Hello.
And we actually just had the most interesting of adventures in the past half hour. Not only did she draw what will go on to be our profile picture for all social media, but she also drew, she sketched Mike as a bunny and me as a really attractive woman. And so, Paige, you've done Busty Girl Comics, but you've since stopped doing that, but you still saw the trading. So I'm curious, what are you doing mostly now, like, besides the con appearances and sketches of dorks like us?
Well, I actually just returned to freelancing, but since last August, I've been working on a new series called Art Space, which is how you would pronounce Art Space in Massachusetts, where the comic is set. It's about six artists who do different styles, all sharing a warehouse space together and trying to figure out what they're going to do with their lives, and trying to balance home life and family and their day jobs and all that fun stuff. It's not as stressful as it sounds, I promise.
Yeah, and so that just to be like an ongoing series or like a big volume?
That, it's got 35 pages now, and it updates once a week on Thursdays.
Okay.
And that will eventually be a pretty substantial size book, but right now it's just the 35 pages.
Yeah. All right, anything else, or is that just kind of it?
I also have a number of other projects in the works, including a possible spinoff of Busting Girl Comics, but that's still... It's more of like just the one hush.
Okay.
It's just, yeah.
Just one hush.
But a half cup of hush.
It's a half cup of
on the hush scale.
On the hush scale, it's more of like a 2.5.
Yeah, just like a...
Out of 5 or 10?
I don't know, that part's hush.
Because that part is hush.
That's like an 8 on the hush scale.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing, okay, obviously, not me being able to really identify the comics, but still finding them... funny.
The drawing version of you would probably get it, though.
She would, yes.
She definitely would.
Gender Bed me would get it. Amanda would get it.
Yeah.
But what I've always really enjoyed is that you've been very inclusive with your artwork and the different characters you're portraying. Right now, you have various women of size, color, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So was that, like, always a goal for you when you started this, or just, like, the kind of work that you do, or how did that, like...
It was pretty much a goal from the get-go, just because it made no sense not to be inclusive. Like, it's one thing if it was me just drawing my own experiences, but I made a point of drawing things that didn't just happen to me. It's a pretty universal topic. Like, even if you yourself aren't busty, if you probably know someone who's busty, who has these experiences, and having diversity as just like a as like a background filter just made sense. Like, it's something that's everywhere. Why not show that in comics?
Yeah. Right. So, Michael, this is actually from your experiences. Do you have anything you want to ask her, or do any comments about the sketches?
Well, first of all, the sketches were absolutely magical. Thank you so much. Is there anywhere that people who listen to our podcast might be able to go see your work?
Yes. So. PageHalseyWarren.com is my portfolio site. But if you'd like to check out more of my comics, go to PageOneComics, and that's page with an I, .com. And that has links to all of my comics, as well as commission information if you are interested in commissioning me for comic work, sketches, portraits, invitations... anything.
Anything.
I'm trying to think of some random outrageous example, but oh, tattoo art. That's a fun one to do. So, yeah.
Now, what was I going to say? I almost lost my train of thought here. All right, so you've
been at this expo before, correct?
I've been at Long Beach Comic Con.
Okay. But so this is your first time at the expo then. And what's your experience doing the expo versus the con?
It's still good. It's like, it's kind of, I didn't get lost on my way to my panel, so that was good. That was a nice change. I know this is really cliche, but it's much more intimate. Like, I can actually go and talk to the other artists and still see my booth. Like, it's kind of nice. Yeah.
Are you going to be at the event of the Comic-Con in September here?
Absolutely.
All right.
It's, I gotta say, it's probably... Definitely top 5 favorite conventions.
Is this the top 5? What are the other 4? Now I'm curious, like, what?
They're like bitty ones. Although Boston Comic Con is pretty big. I really enjoyed that one when I did it. Mice is probably, like, I want to say it's my number 1, but I was also really biased by the fact that it was an exceptionally good weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't have to be in any particular order.
Like, fair enough.
Top 5 were all number 1.
Okay, gotcha. So MICE is the Massachusetts Independent Comic Expo. So that one is a particularly fun one. Just tons of small press, which is wonderful. WonderCon was amazing. I just did the most recent WonderCon, and it's my first time doing that show, and oh my god, I'm gonna do that again. Yeah. It was awesome.
I was actually at WonderCon this year. I'm surprised I didn't see you. I didn't even know you. I might have missed you.
It was huge.
It was pretty big. It was, yeah, because I went to the first time it was held down here, because it used to be held in, like, San Francisco. And so it came out here, like, in 2012, so this is the third year. I didn't go last year. And this year, like, I was wandering about a lot, but it was also... other circumstances where I didn't get to explore as much as I wanted to. So now I'm kind of bummed that we didn't have all this awesome time at WonderCon. He wouldn't have been there either.
Yeah,
so, but
podcast wasn't a thing then.
It was a pretty wild show.
It was.
I was really lucky. I had a booth buddy who, Nyla Magruder, who makes amazing work. Like, her series MFK is just absolutely gorgeous. And she and I were booth buddies at WonderCon. And by the end of the show, we were, like, pitching each other's comic to people as they were going by. Because there were just so many people that we had to sort of, like pull as many people in as possible. And it was so much fun.
Okay, before we really wrap this up, what's your con schedule looking like for the rest of the year?
I'm definitely doing Long Beach Comic Con. I am still trying to get into Boston Comic Con, but I think I might have dragged my feet a little too long on that one.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it at the moment. I play it by ear way too much, and that's not great.
Yeah, it happens. Well, we'll see you here again in September, and by then I think we'll have a lot more goofy sketch ideas.
Fantastic.
In order to help pay the bills.
Super stoked.
Anything you want to say?
Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you. This is great.
Right. Any final statements? Or
I got nothing.
That's perfectly
I was going to say the Dumbledore words from the first book where he's like,
the words from
Blubber, Omnit, Tweak, or whatever it is. There's one more in there, but...
Everyone on three, say bye, guys. One, two, three.
Bye, guys.
All right, so that was our interview with Rampage Warren of Busted Girl Comics, and also the creator of our new profile image for all social media. And it's a beautiful image. She is a great artist, and she captured us really well and really easily in, what, the span of, like, 10, 15 minutes?
Oh, yeah. She's an absolute sweetheart. She is just so amazing, and she was so cool to sit there and talk to. We actually sat there and talked to her for maybe, like, another half an hour beyond just...
Yeah. Well, we had commissioned her for another sketch of me as a woman, and I look pretty damn good, mm-hmm. and Mike as a bunny, which she volunteered to do just because she loves bunnies.
Yeah, I mean, Mondo was like, hey, you should draw Mike as a bunny. She was like, I'll do that one for free, and she just went ahead and did it, and it was amazing. She was absolutely one of the most amazing people that we met at the expo this weekend.
And then we gave her a Rocket Raccoon bobble toy.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, so hopefully she enjoys that, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the con as a whole, give some final impressions. For both of us, this is our first time going to the Long Beach Comic Expo, but for Mike, it's his first real impression of how a con is.
Yeah, do you want me to go first?
Yes, I feel like you should go first, being like you for the first timer.
Okay, so being a con noob, my only other con, I think we mentioned earlier in the podcast with our interview with the Nerdcendence,
yes,
is my only other experience with the con was Kamikaze on the second year that it was running out in LA. And I went with my dad and my brother, and we just kind of like walked around the exhibition floor. We didn't go to any panels. We didn't go to, we saw like Elvira for like 3 minutes, and that was it. As far as this con is concerned, I absolutely loved every second of it. I know that some of the other people that we talked to had a few qualms with some of the panels that we went to, that there could have been better moderating. I absolutely love just the opportunity to sit there and listen to, especially the two main panels that we went to were the Positive Body Image and the Cosplay Does Not Equal Consent panels. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love them. I love that we had some really amazing female role models up there, at least talking about the issues. Maybe the panels could have been a little bit more on point. But as far as me and a first-timer going, I absolutely loved it. The exhibition hall was a little bit smaller than I would have thought, you know, with the image I had in my head going in. But there still was plenty of stuff to look at. I went and actually bought a couple prints for some friends of mine who were absolutely in love with Catwoman and Harley Quinn. I went and bought them some cool prints that were reasonably priced. I don't think any of the vendors I saw there had like outrageously priced prints or like sketches. As far as the cosplays was concerned, some of the most amazing cosplay I'd ever seen was there, and everyone was really friendly and really nice. We really didn't have any like creepers or rude gatekeepers or anyone else there, kind of, you know, ruining the time for anyone else. And it was a lot of families.
Yes. Well. Especially to a Sunday, mm-hmm. and so Sunday is usually a family day for cons. But yeah, I noticed that there was a lot of families. It might be that the ticket price for this was a little bit lower than some cons. Mm-hmm. That might have helped out, because I feel like for cons like this, where the price is really affordable, like a lot of working class families come out and they bring their kids who might be like, hey, you know, like I grew up watching, you know, the Super Friends cartoon,
yeah,
or, you know, things from like the 70s and 80s and even 90s for some of the parents a little bit on the younger side. Mm-hmm. And you know, so they're like, you know what, like this thing is going on. We either did it from work, daddy or mommy or both of us are going to take you out and, you know, maybe we'll shop for some comics or just like toys or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, definitely. I mean, and it was really cool to see families out there because, a lot of times, especially one of the things that was brought up over and over and over again during these panels is that, well, when we grew up, all this stuff that we're into wasn't really the mainstream, but now it is, and you get to see these little kids out there with their parents enjoying nerd culture in the thick of it. I even got to fist bump a little Wolverine while
yes.
when you and your friend were walking around the exhibition floor and I was out buying stuff.
Of Glynnis?
Yes. Yeah. We this little Wolverine was sitting there while his parents were looking at stuff, and I was like, awesome costume, man, and fist bumped him. So that was really cool.
Kids get stoked.
Yeah, man, it was really cool. So
you know.
What were your impressions?
This is my first time going to the Long Beach Comic Expo, but not my first experience of a con. I've been to WonderCon, San Diego Comic-Con, Stanley's Kamikaze Expo, and I thought for the size of the event, they actually did really well with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the panels they had or, you know, fun. Even the panels we didn't go to, didn't have time for, were still, like, you know, really a awesome presentation. Like a variety of things you could go to, like the Creator Spotlight Land Wine,
yeah,
or, like, the sci-fi, which we actually did catch part of it, the sci-fi in, like, the internet and, like, television.
Mm,
they
yes.
showed, like, that, they showed that, like, that fan-made Star Trek, like, series or whatever
yes,
they're trying to work on.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, we caught the tail end of that. So, but even the ones we did, like I said, I wish, and this is more because I've seen similar panels at other cons and expos take place. I wish it could be a little bit more like, just like tight, like, but like I said, the fact that they're there and they're bringing awareness at the end of the day will never disappoint me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as long as that awareness is there, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see it there. Which is good. Like I said, the pricing of everything wasn't that bad. Like the tickets were, you know, easily affordable. Kids, I think 10 and under got in for free. So I probably mm-hmm. saw families. They're like, oh, you know, I only have to pay for myself, like,
yeah,
from a parent's perspective. You said it was a little bit small for what you expected, but they're working on actually taking over the largest floor of, or like the largest room of the convention center for the 2015 Expo and Con.
Yeah.
So that means we're going to see it get a lot bigger.
I'm excited.
You're
going
to see a lot of vendors who we might be able to see, like, things like tabletop gaming, which you lamented that wasn't there.
Yes, that's actually one of the small complaints that I had about the expo is that I would have loved to have seen maybe just a small area set aside, maybe like a room set aside for tabletop and card gaming. That
yeah.
would have been awesome to see maybe some games of Pathfinder or D&D or maybe even some like people playing Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh or something off
yeah.
in the corner. That would have been awesome to see.
And I think that's something we will see. You know, the cosplay presence was actually really strong, especially both days. Like I was like, wow, you know, like the cosplayers are still coming in strong even on Sunday, which is really exciting. And this was brought up several times throughout even just offhand conversations and in panels. But I feel like cosplaying has really helped invigorate like expos and conventions to being as best as they can because people want to like, oh, I want to go see all the cosplayers or oh, I want to go and cosplay. So
yeah.
now like that really helps drive attendance. And I think that's great. Plus
mm-hmm.
I just like seeing all these people put all this craftsmanship into their, you know, like their work. You know, we saw like Sailor Scouts, lots of Captain Americas, lots of Deadpools.
The Deadpools always travel in packs.
Yes, they do. We saw he's been at a presence for a while. He's a big presence. Is the B-boy Stormtrooper?
Oh yeah,
and,
that was pretty funny.
You know, a lot of steampunkers, and it's great. You know, we'll ideally be. I don't think there's anything that would get in our way, but we'll ideally be at the Long Beach Comic Con,
mm-hmm.
which is the slightly bigger event, has a bit more of a broader reach. But if as far as the expo is concerned, you know, it definitely has us stoked for that, and we're glad to see like such a well put together event. For like the first minute and a half, we were lost trying to get. But once we were in, it was like boom, that line, boom, got our credentials, and it was easy.
It really was. Big shout out to everyone who worked the expo. You guys were awesome. Really friendly, really helpful. There was nobody there that wasn't very attentive or willing to help anyone out who had any questions. Anytime I saw anybody ask a team member, like, hey, where can I find this? Or anytime that we had questions, everyone was on it. And everyone was like, oh, you have to go here. Oh, you have to go there.
Yeah.
And that
goes not just for the expo and their team, but also for the convention center.
Yes.
Convention center, like, A+ on hospitality. You know, thank you for helping us, you know, feel like very welcome and for encouraging us and making us want to come back.
Yes.
You know, because like you could have it at a place where it's very hostile and you just don't want to return. This was not the case here.
Not in the slightest.
Yeah, like I said, other than like seeing a bigger presence on tabletop gaming and just seeing more vendors, maybe somewhat of a video game presence. I don't really know if there's anything I could really say that I want more of. Maybe just more of like the social justice kind of type like panels that we saw. Just keep doing that.
Yes, definitely keep doing that.
You know.
So, any other closing thoughts?
No, for those of you who missed out, you have a second chance come this September to come to the con. So definitely do that. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are starting to get really active on those fronts. And we could use more followers, you know, who will eventually become friends because we can meet, hang out, high five, eat pizza, you know, and be merry.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Once again, thank you to the Nerdcendents. You guys were awesome. It was awesome to sit down and talk to you guys. Thank you so much to Paige. You are absolutely amazing. And big shout out to the Long Beach Convention Center and all the Expo team. If you want to catch more of our coverage, because we are both doing in-depth write-ups of the con as a whole.
Which ideally should be up by the time this episode is up, but if not, give us a little time.
Yeah. You can catch it right here on our host site, Racket Magazine, at racketmag.com.
Yep. And also, a quick shout-out to the Emperor, a.k.a. the Dr. Emperor, a.k.a. Jonathan Yost, because we are currently recording this on a microphone that he let us use. So if it sounds a little bit different, that's why. And this mic, we actually used it at the con to record all of our little like footage. Mm-hmm. And so we're still getting used to figuring out how it works. But so far, I think we've got it.
Yeah.
And from here on out, the sound quality for, you know, whenever we use it, should be way better.
Yeah. So, I also want to apologize a little bit for if the sound quality was a little bit off this week. We're actually both really tired right now. We've been out for 2 days covering this con.
Not to mention, I had to work Saturday.
You had to work after we went Saturday. So, thank you so much, guys, for sticking it through with us. Once again, thank you to everyone we got to sit down and talk with and everyone who ran a panel, everyone who got up and talked. You guys were awesome.
We'll see you next week with our special guest, Glynis Pruitt of the Comic Book Hideout, and she's going to talk about what she does there, as well as a special program I won't get too much into. I want her to tell you about it.
Yeah, she's another huge sweetheart. I got to meet her for the first time today, and she was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, thank you guys for listening. We hope to see you next week in episode 5, Revenge of the Nerd.
Yeah.
And
Revenge of the King of the Nerds.
Revenge of the King of the Nerds.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.